Hello, Cancer, and welcome to Reckoning for the Faithful, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer here with a look at your spring of 2025 astrology, which is very exciting for the sign Cancer. It resonates through your chart in a way unlike any of the other signs. This reading will serve for Cancer Sun, Cancer Rising, and the Moon in Cancer, and then also any other strong chart feature, such, for example, as Saturn or Chiron in the sign Cancer. By the way, Cancer, the first sign in the most ancient teaching device in astrology called the Thema Mundi, the proto-astrology chart of all time, dating back to 400 BC, made up by a guy named Eudoxus of Cnidos, or so I am told, has Cancer rising. And so in some ways, the ancient astrologers who passed this work on to us reminded us that the world itself is a chart with Cancer in the first house. And I'll be getting into that chart, which looks like this, in a minute. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the world we're living in and the times we are living in, and how this this all is not exactly compatible with who you are, though there are some people better at it than others. There are some people who are, let's say, adapting better than others. There are some who are adapting not so very well. Let's see, I'm not sure where you are, but I'm going to do my best to help you tune in to the world in which we're living and take advantage of this tremendous wave of astrology that is coming through the spring of 2025 and the spring of 2026, approximately a kind of a long year where we're going to be in this massive transition from a very strong Pisces emphasis to an Aries emphasis. And what that is doing is activating the most aspirational angle of your chart, the angle of your chart that says that the greater things are possible and actual achievements are possible. And the thing about the world that we live in right now is that there are not a lot of people who are feeling particularly aspirational about their lives. There's a lot of negativity, and most of what there is kind of obstruction and chaos and a sense of the world falling in, where you might think, well, how could it be possible to think of doing greater things at this time when I can barely keep up? But it is you're being called. You are being called. Now the thing is that you're being called into a world that is extremely digital. It is going toward basically machines. These are not really machines in the sense of like having gears and oil in them, but they are algorithmic. They are devices that are set to run in scripted and programmed ways, and you are very much a flesh and blood person, and it's important to you to understand who you are. And the thing that goes missing in the digital world, as compared with, for example, the analog world and the typographical world, the world that existed on paper, is that as we move deeper and deeper into these electronic realms, it becomes more and more difficult to remember who you are. It becomes more difficult as you are taken outside of yourself, which is what digital technology does. It takes you outside of yourself. And there's countless, endless examples of how this works. And you might think, well, what is gramming my meal? I don't know if that term is used anymore, but when you get dinner and then you take a picture of it and you put it up on the internet, think about for a second why that's necessary and how strange that would have seemed in the pre-digital world if you were out to dinner with friends and then you had your Kodak Pocket Instamatic camera and you took a picture of your dinner and then you sent it out to Photomat and You got the negatives and the prints back, and then you took that negative and made, 100 copies of a negative of a plate of tacos, 100 copies of a print, and then sent it in the mail to everyone, it would make absolutely no sense. Like, why, so why in the digital world does that make sense? Well, it makes sense in the digital world because the nature of the digital world is to take us out of our center. It takes us out of our core. And it does this in ways that are extremely subtle and also, I think, very toxic when it is so necessary for us to have a sense of who we are on this planet and also to be on a quest for who we are. And the quest for who we are is always an inner quest. It's never a journey in the outer world, though there can be a journey in the outer world, as is very significant in your charts. Your charts are very much about outer activity, but they still describe an inner condition, an inner state of being, an inner reality, and an inner kind of state of alignment with yourself. And there's going to be some reclaiming that you have to do. But I think that it's it's hard for me to relate this in words because I have such an intuitive understanding of it, and I keep explaining it over and over again, which is the effect of the digital environment on the psyche, on the human soul, on the experience of being on the planet. And as times change, it becomes difficult to remember the thing we were. I mean, like for example, the idea that someone might take a bath three times during the winter total is not a thing. Like, no one can conceive, no one on the internet can conceive of what it would be like to take a bath three times during the entire winter. So as showers and bathtubs appeared in homes, that became a thing of the past, and it's not talked about anymore. And anybody these days who goes like 2 or 3 days without a shower is going to feel real grody and all that. And it's the same way with remembering who we are when a whole new wave of technology has completely consumed not only society but also our minds. And that's our minds and our very sense of who we are. And that's the thing that we are contending with now. That is the sense of the world gone completely insane. That is the sense of everything being blown outward, putting a photo of your dinner on Instagram when there's absolutely no conceivable reason that a person would ever need or want to do that. It communicates absolutely nothing. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. But it's a clue to what's going on with the mind. It's as if, unless you put that picture of your tacos on the internet, they're not real. They're not real. But they are real, and they're only real because you eat them. You have a direct physical personal experience. You don't need to justify your physical experiences by rationalizing them in the digital world. But there are plenty of times and places where you will need to work through the digital realm to get an effect or a result in the physical world. And the reason for that is that there's absolutely nothing that we do now that does not in some way involve the internet. I play a little game with myself sometimes, like what wouldn't involve the internet? Well, if I were at the farmer's market and I handed the person $5 for a pint of apple cider, that wouldn't involve the internet. But the list is almost that short. It's almost that short. And there's not a lot of things that exist only in physical form anymore. I guess your child is a thing that you don't need the internet really for. Your cat or your dog, you don't really need the internet for that. But when it comes to actually accomplishing something in the world, when it comes to actually doing something in the world, we're not only working through digital technology, we're working through this digital concept of ourselves, this digital notion of who we are. And the digital notion of who we are is totally externalized. And externalized means glamorized. Externalized means turned into an image, turned into a figment, transported at the speed of light, existing in illusion only. That creates a whole different state of mind when it comes down to thinking about, what do I want to do? Who am I, and how am I going to express that fact of who I am in a way that's physically, personally compelling and satisfying to me, and then possibly connects with other people? And if there's one thing about your chart right now, it is that you are visible to other people. You are in this experience of making contact, and your astrology is calling you to aspire to different things and greater things. So what I would like to do is explore a bit of that, but I'm going to keep commenting on, like, what is the situation of the challenge of existing so strongly in the digital realm, which all of us have pretty much mastered. We're all pretty good at existing in the digital realm, but we're not so good at balancing or integrating, better is a better word, the digital realm and the physical realm. And it's got to do with this idea of who we are being so profoundly shaped and transformed by all of this constant involvement and overexposure to the digital environment. So I'm going to keep reminding us of that as I speak, and then in half a moment, let's take a look at your chart and see what is going on and what is the nature of this upward, aspirational calling to things that you have never done before, never achieved before, perhaps never even thought of before. Okay, here is the solar chart for Cancer for 2025. And I'm sorry if my eyes feel like they're darting around a little bit, but I'm constantly having to monitor all these different things at the same time, because I am in this, I'm in a little digital studio, basically, and there's a lot to think about in a digital studio and making video using a two mic and a two camera system. So thank you for putting up with my process of getting adjusted to all of this. All right, so let's take a look at this rather glorious and amazing astrology. So this is my handwritten chart for Cancer for 2025, and I'm pointing up at Aries because this is really where most of the action is for you. And there's exciting stuff going on in your sign that I will get to, and things that happen in one's birth sign are definitely going to show up as grounding influences and things that are kind of they provide other options for how it is that you see yourself, and how so much of this reading is grounded in the idea of how you see yourself and how you experience yourself, and what is your relationship to your body. Now, this is not something that that people think about, and the thing is that very often, and one of the ways they don't think about it, is that the relationship one has to one's body has a lot to do with how you feel in your mind and in your emotions. The kind of thought process that we have, and the experiences of relating to our own sense of being, this is all a mind-body-emotional nexus. And when I talk about digital disembodiment, what I mean is that digital interferes with that mind-body-emotional nexus. And the first thing that it does is it removes us from our center. The center is body orientation, no matter how much yoga you do, there is a manual level to this. There is a level of understanding that is required. So when I talk about the 10th house here, anyone talks about the 10th house here, usually they're talking about a thing that is external to oneself, because it's in the world. It is the actions and choices and decisions that people make in the world, in their working environment, in their in the community where they have direct leadership influence of some kind, or where the goal is in some way to succeed or build a reputation in a tangible way. And so normally that is construed as a thing that is outside of one, outside of someone. But you don't have that option. Where Aries is placed, sign Aries is placed, is where you're going to seek self-actualization. We could think of self-actualization as being connecting mind, body, emotions with some form of intent, with some form of result. So that's self-actualization. And where Aries is in the chart is where anyone will tend to self-actualize. And for the 12 different signs, one of the things that changes is Aries appears somewhere different for everyone. And where Aries appears for you is this astrological region associated with aspiration, reputation, leadership, responsibility. And the secret to the sign Cancer is that you realize this, you explore and you express this, not sitting in your house, not going away on vacation, not doing whatever people do besides sit in their house and go playing sports or something like that. For Cancer, the necessary field of exploring who you are as a person in the world is all about these facets of building your presence in the world. And there is highly unusual activity in this house of building your presence in the world. And this, in one way, shape, or form, or many, many different ways, is going to change your life. You're going to be living a different life in a year than you are living now, a perhaps very different life in terms of these outward expressions of your reality. So I want to show you the way the astrology looks now when we amplify it. Now, is this possible? How am I going to do this here? All right. I'm going to have to skip ahead to let's skip that chart for a second. So first of all, looking at a portion of the chart for the spring equinox, we can see that the sun goes into Aries, which it does every year. So every year in March or so, you get a surge of energy and you want to move out of the world more. You want to do more as a person on the planet. And that's because the sun crosses over this kind of hypothetical midheaven for the Cancer solar chart. So we see the sun there, and we see Venus in early Aries, but it's retrograde. It's heading back to Pisces. Mercury is in early Aries, but it's retrograde. It's heading back into Pisces. And then in Pisces, we see Neptune in the very end of Pisces, about to cross over your midheaven, and Saturn and then Saturn in late Pisces, also about to cross over. So what's going to happen is there's Neptune. It's going to cross your midheaven, wiggle back, and then come back in. Saturn's going to do it. That's the squiggly line. It means that the planet goes in, it goes back, it comes out, and both Neptune and Saturn are doing this, but so are Venus and Mercury right now. And so that is why this is very important information for you to warm up and tune up with transits that are short-term transits, particularly Venus and the Sun and Venus and Mercury, are shorter-term transits. The whole process lasts only a month to 2 months, and then these planets move on. But the bigger news is that Saturn crosses this 10th house and Neptune crosses this 10th house, and that transition lasts until a little bit less than a year from now, about 11 months from now, but that it is fully engaging a whole new stage of your life in terms of how you relate to your mission. Basically, simply put, the 10th house is your mission. The 10th house is some think of it as the career house. I think of it as the house associated with vocation, and vocation is a calling. To career means to speed along like a car careering down the road, or careering around a racetrack, or careering into a tree or something like that, right? Career is like, it's kind of like a figure of speech. More, we don't think of our lives in terms of whoosh, but you, my Cancerian cousin, experience your career as a series of callings, and the calling is not so much about what you do. Your calling is about who you are, because you express who you are through what you do, and therefore it's very important that the what you do is in response to a calling and not some kind of pretext or nobody makes money as a bass player. I mean, I wonder how many parents said to their kid, oh, you'll never make money as a bass player. Well, any decent bass player can pretty much make a living right now. I don't know how it's going to be in 20 years when your kid's ready to go out in 10 years, when your kid's ready to go out into the world and be a bass player. But never tell your kid that they're not going to make money as a bass player, because you might not be right. But if your kid is called to be a bass player, and speaking of what the kid is called to do, what were you called to do as a child? Now is a very good time to go back to the egg on that, with different planetary cycles restarting, because remember that Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. Sidereal time sets back to midnight and all that. Cancer is the first sign in the kind of symbolic horoscope of the world. But when planets get to Aries, they reset. And a lot of what's going on is planets resetting in Aries, particularly two of the most important planets. And in astrology, I think astronomers would agree as well, Saturn and Neptune. After all, there's only eight planets now, except for the other million things that are orbiting the sun. There's only eight. And two of the eight, actually, quite frankly, four of the eight planets are moving back and forth over this Pisces-Aries line. So here's what it looks like now. Here's what it looks like now. And here's what's going to look like in 1 year. And this is why I'm using this chart. It's unusual to go out, in a spring reading, for example. I've never gone out this far. But with this happening, I absolutely have to. There's no getting around it, because you have to know what this is about. And this is going to be this is all going to be the astrology for people who don't believe in astrology. When they, looking back on this, it's going to be like the astrologers who are seeing this are going to be the only people who had a clue of what this was about. And so when we get out to February of 2026, this is the collection that's in Pisces. Almost all fast movers, with one exception, meaning that they're very transient through Pisces. And then in Aries, this is all very slow movers, with a couple of exceptions, but the slow movers are Neptune, Saturn, Eris, and Chiron. Neptune, Saturn, Eris, and Chiron represent long generational processes, and they represent events that are on a far less than a once in a lifetime scale. So that's partly why this is so exciting. Now, in the, what can this represent? Well, the 10th house is very sensitive to public contact, and we now live in a world where there's a tremendous amount of public contact, where like public contact is kind of part of everyone's normal day. It's kind of ridiculous in a way. I mean, it's completely unnecessary to have this much public contact, but we have it. But more significantly, the 10th really involves you finding work that you do that you are fully invested in. And the reason for that is that the 10th represents the work, the effort, the responsibility, the leadership that you have. But because Aries is there, this talks about the absolute necessity and urgency of work where you experience your growing into who you are. This is so much of what our lives are about, except for one problem. The whole crime scene of the digital realm is Aries, as far as I'm concerned. I've traced this back over the centuries, looking at technological advances, looking at stuff in the 15th century. I'm really good with the 15th, the 19th, and the 20th, and then of course the 21st. So I'm missing a couple of centuries in the back there, but the big stuff going on in Aries is like massive movement in the 15th century, massive movement in the 19th century, and then massive movement in the early 20th century, leading into this complete kind of free-for-all that we've got going on now. So one of the challenges you may have is that as a person of the 21st century, bridging the 20th and the 21st centuries, is that this all may seem like a kaleidoscope. I mean, and it kind of does seem like a kaleidoscope. Personally, I'm born with a Cancer ascendant. I've got 6 degrees Cancer rising. And so I'm sorting out this experience in the work that I'm doing as I try to find my way through the many options that I have for example, what to do in a day, but also the options I have for, well, how am I going to connect that to a revenue stream, which is important in the 10th and also in the 11th, which we'll get to. This is the paradox that we all have. Now, one problem that I have solved is, and I did this very young, is that I'm not engaged in anything that does not cultivate my personal growth, that does not. And by that, I mean actual self-actualization, like the daring, meeting the risk and the challenge and the dare of being who I am in some distinct new way every day. That's the sense of self-actualization. The sense of self-actualization is not being like, oh, I know who I am. That's all good. Everything's just wonderful. Honey, get me another beer. That is not the process of self-actualization. It is being confronted with something new every day. And look, I admit that there are times that I whine when I wake up in the morning. I have the least idea what I'm going to be confronting, especially during, for example, when there's a big story breaking, i.e. the 2020 crisis. But that's what it means to really be alive in the work that you're doing, is that there is some sense of mystery and aspirational calling that is about rising to the occasion, that is about rising to the challenge. Okay, so let's break down, now that I've given this super long pep talk, and trying to express this concept that I think is so lost on the world, that what you do every day can actually be meaningful. Doesn't just have to be about making money, and it doesn't just have to be that you are bleaching and extracting the meaning out of it, like, you know, panning for rubies in a stream or something like that. That you need that, unless you're really into that, unless that's your thing, to kind of have a growth challenge all the time, to for there to be an experiment of who you are so that you can keep making the decision of who you are on a constant basis. And this is, I think this is really what your chart inherently, without any of these planets here, just it's about with having Aries as this thing that you are reaching for at all times, in a sense upward, but really it is inward. So there's two main, apart from all the Venus and Mercury retrograding back and forth, which we see more in the solstice, in the equinox chart here, and an eclipse coming right about there. You know, it's coming at, it's going to be about 8 degrees, 8.5 degrees of Aries. So that enhances the, sense of potential and the sense of action. And additionally, the eclipse is going to create an opening for you. The eclipse, by the way, 29th of March, that creates an opening for you. That is an expansion portal for you. And that's important to know about. Because there's so much activity, it is so kaleidoscopic that you might think, what the fuck am I going to do? But here's the thing. The chances are that what you need to do, what you want to do, what you must do, what you desire the most to do is either something specific or it has a specific feeling tone to it. And by a feeling tone, I mean creative rather than repetitive, interesting rather than boring, brightly colored instead of black and white color. So there's something about a feeling tone, and it's very important that you follow the feeling tone, which is something inwardly about you, not about activity in the world. Okay, am I making sense here? So, I mean, just to give you an example, any, apart from the actual schedule, in any day, I have a choice to go out and take photographs, which I'm happy that the light is coming back. I can sit and edit somewhere. I've got like a million photos in the next room. I can do astrology projects. I can get involved in investigative reporting projects. I can play music. Every one of those things has something in it that is about reaching inwardly for who I am. So in a sense, it doesn't really matter what I'm doing. And I think that's a place to get to, that the options you have all should be options where it's about learning something about yourself, where it's about growing, where it's about becoming. And this can be happening in very radical ways. Ways you've never planned, never thought of, never ever imagined. Where, you go to a city for one conference, you go for the Victoria Woodhull Sexual Freedom Conference, and then you find yourself mingling, as I once did, in a room full of basically high officers. Captain seemed to be the lowest rank in the room of people involved with the United States Cyber Command. And I'm suddenly looking at captain bars on shoulders this high above my head. Well, let's imagine I walked into that room and, as I did, struck up conversations with several of the instructors. And then suddenly I find myself taking a role as a contractor for something just because I got into a conversation. This is really what I mean about bringing your body into things and physically going places. And by the way, this activity in the ninth is calling for movement on and around the planet, whether it's this activity in the ninth, Saturn and Neptune still here, whether it's the picture of the sky at the time of the equinox this year in March. We still have a lot of activity in Pisces. Your travel sign, your sign of get out and explore the world. And then if we're talking about the spring of 2026, going in winter into spring of 2026, this chart is set up for March 19th. Both the sense of movement around the world, but also bringing your physical body into what you do. So one of the workarounds to this insane digital over, kind of overcompensation, tidal wave, absolute complete watershed, unexpected. I mean, unexpected. I would be a person to have reason to know this. I could never, ever, ever have foreseen what would become of the technological environment, even though I've been so involved with it, and that's partly why I probably couldn't see it. The antidote to that is we have to get off the fucking internet. As I speak to you on the internet, trust me, I would rather be giving this presentation in a group, in a room, in a group with cold coffee on the table and a bowl of celery and blue cheese and going out to lunch than doing it on the internet. But I do my very best to get off the internet and get around when I can. And what I'm suggesting is where your work is concerned, put your body in a car or on an airplane and do things associated with work as part of this means of finding yourself. All right, let's get down to some specific transits. So here we have, I'm going to skip these big charts for a second. So for a little while longer, Neptune's going to be in Pisces. It goes into Aries in a very short time, 3 weeks, we're going to have Neptune being in Aries since the first time since 1860, entering Aries for the first time since 1864 before the Civil War. The telegraph had been invented. Then followed by Saturn. I believe that is in May. They're both going to go back, but in this spring, you are going to have a sample of what your future life is going to be, or see options for what your future life might be. So that's happening. And I would repeat, I would remind you that there is this warm-up act going on of Venus and Mercury doing the same maneuver. So think of this as like a zone of your life. Like think of this as a transition area in your life. And it is the transition area between potential and manifestation. It's the transition area between ethics and expressing power. It's the transition area between faith and belief and acting on that faith and belief in a way that tests you, that is tangible, that is workable in the world of the physical world. This, by the way, among the ways that I remain grounded with physical tools to do this work, and I highly encourage you to get one of my astrology sets, and which comes with all kinds of stuff, but it's a set of physical astrology tools. And in a similar way, I am suggesting that you keep bringing your body places, keep getting yourself to where you're going to be around people and to where people will feel your presence, because there's something about your presence that is so compelling and so necessary and so beautiful and such a powerful tool. And when we look at the astrology of this current moment, and we see this Venus and Mercury doing this action in Pisces and Aries, these are they call personal planets. Well, it's not that hard to figure out why they're personal. Venus is about how we feel. Mercury is about what we think. They also both represent forms of value of movement. And so you're being called now physically. So check with what you're doing. Look if there's events, if there's conferences, if there's gatherings that might be local. And also take any opportunity you can to personalize what you do with a visit, with a point of contact. Okay, physical contact where you can shake the person's hand, be there, say, you know, what are you doing for dinner? I mean, this is like a question that people are afraid to ask now. Would they think they've got to plan everything 6 months in advance and have it with Venmo and everything like that? The spontaneity counts for a lot. By the way, with these retrograde planets, old contacts with especially with Venus retrograde, old contacts and collaborators may be coming back into the picture of your life. So I think that the over overarching meta theme of first Venus and Mercury dancing around concurrently with Saturn and Neptune, and they're all going to be making lots of conjunctions. I mean, I wish I could kind of run the animation for you. I mean, that can't be done on this computer. This is too new of a computer. But it would be four planets moving around and making a whole diversity of conjunctions. Each one of those conjunctions is a potential meeting point of two or more people. And remember that Saturn rules Aquarius, and so anything where Saturn is can be about a group environment of some kind. And that, by the way, is out of your eighth place and your seventh place, a lot about relationships. And so there's this possibility, a strong sense of the ruler of Capricorn, the ruler of Aquarius, now moving over your midheaven. And I mean, by the way, I mean, the out of classical astrology, out of 1970s groovy astrology, out of almost every astrology there is, Saturn in the 10th is fantastic. It is a period of achievement. It is a time of doing things that are just unusual and new, where you are called to be the maximum expression of who you are and to take responsibility for life in some way, and responsibility for your existence in some way, and often for other people in some way. But the really curious thing is that Neptune is involved. And so this is a whole other kind of Saturn into Aries transit. When we look back for combinations of Saturn and Neptune, Kirsty Melto and I, in Aries, we found a grand total of four. That's 4 meetings of Neptune and Saturn in Aries, going back to 1 BC. And that conjunction is going to happen, as I've drawn it in here, right smack at 1 Aries. Right at 1 Aries. That's in February 2026. So one thing to remember is there's going to be this buildup. It's going to come in waves. The planets are sweeping back between these two signs in the part of the representation of astrology. It's all a metaphor where you are manifesting your existence in the real world. Okay, while that's happening, there is something else extraordinary going on, which is the conjunction of Chiron and Eris in the 10th house. Now, remember that the 10th represents vocation. The 10th also represents, because it's Aries, self-actualization through vocation, hearing your calling. But here's the wild thing, that this is this conjunction has happened in Aries most recently in 1971-72. That was the early 70s. If you live through it, you have some sense of what an unusual time in history that it was. And if you didn't, if you look back, you will find that there were many, many exciting, innovative things that manifested in the early 1970s. And before the early 1970s, to find Chiron and Eris meeting up in Aries, we've got to go back to about 1540. In fact, while this computer screen is free, the previous time, so March of 72, September of 71, and then now I'm looking for Aries. Pardon me while I this program's amazing. There's nothing like it that I know of, and sadly they went out of business in 2019. Okay, 1489 and 1439. Got to write that down. 1489 and 1439. But what I mean by that is that these two planets got together last in Aries in the early 70s, and then before that, 1489 and 1439. That means this is very, very special. And it also means that we're in a time of unknowable, unconscionable breakthrough. One of the defining features of this time in history, by the way, is in the political realm, basically what seems to be hundreds of thousands of federal employees getting dumped back into the workforce, people who have spent 20 years in careers in the federal government, and then they're suddenly being turned loose into an economy that's not really growing. And the other thing that in the technological sphere is that we are now being indoctrinated into this kind of ubiquitous artificial intelligence reality that that is growing more and more ominous every day. And so the part of what this conjunction is about is the singularity point of artificial intelligence. Now, I know quite a bit about this conjunction in terms of how it's manifested in other times, but and it comes in pairs in Aries, right? And the pairs are separated by 500 years. The last time that they took place in a pair in Aries was at the development of the Gutenberg press. So suddenly there was a printing press, and this technology was possible. And this technology changed everything. But it did it much more slowly than is happening now. With digital, which is electrical, everything is moving at the speed of light. And so a stable concept of what a human being was established from the 15th century all the way out basically to the early 20th century. And then in the early 20th century, erased. Practically erased. That's why we all feel so unstable right now. That's why there's this sense of what the fuck. And young people are not necessarily feeling it, but it's hard to get a tangible sense of how they relate to their world because this technology is also infused into them. But whatever else may be going on the personal level, this conjunction in Aries is a tremendous kind of singularity of awareness. And part of that singularity of awareness is that Eris, the slower moving body in this conjunction, is the tribalizing, the de-individuating, the tribalizing factor in the environment. It is the thing that is unraveling the individual concept of what a human being is. A distinct person. Hello, I am me, and you are you. That is got a lot to do with the book made by the Gutenberg Press. It is the Gutenberg person who is able to say, I'm a person with an inner being, etc. And that... But the corollary to that, the bounce point, the moment of reclaiming, the putting the lens in front of the light that's shining, that's Chiron. That's what Chiron does. It is like a focusing lens in front of all of this chaos. And so that has yet to happen. So what I'm suggesting here is that There is a lot moving, and it can certainly seem like you're living inside of a kaleidoscope, and the kaleidoscope is like every option of what the hell you can do and where you can be and what you want to be and all this stuff. But there is this let's call it a precise inner perceptual instrument in the form of the Chiron conjunction to Eris. And there is no underestimating the profound influence of Chiron in its ability to focus the matter, to focus your sense of being, to focus the question, to give you the impetus, the necessity, and this kind of like meeting place of where what you want to do, it combines with what you want to be, which is also about how you need to grow. Okay, running a little bit over here, let's take a quick look at a few things going on in your sign. Since I'm the one in charge here, I'm sure you won't mind if I take a few extra minutes. So there is significant activity in the sign Cancer. Now you can see that because I've got a whole bunch of scribbles there. But let me get a hold of, I'm sorry you can't see the screen. It's kind of really cool. Maybe I can hold it up and show you like how freaking cool this is. But for example, let's give it a try. So it's like this, and I have a little slider. Well, this is really impossible. Well, how is this gonna work? Ooh, let's try this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to choose the planet Jupiter. That is there. Where are you, Jupiter? Jupiter. And then we're looking for when Jupiter goes into not Aries. It's like the world's only simple software application. Hold on, let me just do this without the screen up. I'm trying to get one piece of information, which is the date that Jupiter goes in to Cancer. Okay, so what I've done is I've just selected Jupiter in Cancer in this little window, and now I am going to select. And we find out that Jupiter makes its one and only ingress into Cancer. There it is. On June 9th, 2025, Jupiter enters Cancer on June 9th, 2025. What is all this, what's going on here? I've got the, I think the rest of this reading is going to happen with a little bit of washy, hazy light. So, Jupiter entering your sign, big deal, very important, highly significant. I kind of like this look, but I'm a Pisces. Highly significant for many reasons. Jupiter entering your sign, there is no way for that to be bad. You cannot say that about a lot of things in astrology, but particularly with anybody with a strong Cancerian orientation, Jupiter entering Cancer, very good thing. And it is pumped. The reason it's pumped is because the Jupiter-Saturn square is happening. That looks kind of like this. And then the Jupiter-Neptune square is happening. That looks kind of like that. And so Jupiter is jazzed up, amped up in its ingress into Cancer. And so what's that about? Well, that's just... It's let's put it this way. There was one time when Jupiter was in Cancer, and I was in Reno, and I won two jackpots in one day. Two jackpots in one day in Reno. And I knew when to gamble after Burning Man, not before. And I'm not a gambler, but two in one day? Seriously? So the Jupiter in Cancer is conditioned by the presence of Saturn and Neptune in this 90-degree angle, this square aspect, but that only makes it stronger. And eventually it's going to get out to making a square to these guys over the course of 1 year. So basically what I'm saying is, if there's a year to push your luck, and I don't really mean like investing or any gambling, I mean push your luck on trying things you want to do that you normally would think, this, there's no way to do this. This can't possibly be done. Well. Now, additionally, there these two small-ish distant players, Aspolus and Chaos, have made their way into your sign. That's just
basically potential. It's hard to describe those tools, but they are, one is a very powerful tool for survival, which is Asbolus. It is the thing that all life has in common. And chaos is the creative chaos, the firmament, the void from which all creation manifested. That's in Greek. And by the way, there's one of those small planets making its way over the top of your chart. That is Borysici. And I will leave on this note, but the whelming, overwhelming, mid-whelming, underwhelming, totally appropriate message of Borysici is, I'm going to gesticulate with my puppet theater, is believe in yourself. Have faith in yourself. But the thing that I would normally say not to do, which is to believe your own press release, that's the thing to do under the influence of Borysici. So this really is a chart about finding out who you are through the process of aspiring to great things, getting to where you want to be, getting to where you think the success might be, meeting people, even if you meet them randomly, and exploring this nexus of what you do, what you're called for, who you're becoming as one idea. I know, a strange thing for the world in 2025, but if you remember that reality starts inside you and then makes its way outward, not the other way around, right? You're the cause, core and cause of your individual reality. And if you look deeper, you will find the deeper cause, the commitments that you made coming in here, the connection that you have to the greater being, all of that, by the way, the spiritual piece, magnificently highlighted with all of this Pisces. But what I'm saying is that your spiritual path, your true calling, is everywhere, all the time, wherever you find yourself. Keep choosing who you are consciously and in every moment. All right, on that note, I thank you. It's a pleasure to do this work for you. A real privilege. I know for me, a lot of responsibility, and then once I get going, the channeling begins, and that's it. Good. All right. Please tell your dog and your cat, you have a donkey, but I send my love, Francis of Kingston. Written reading available in The Awakening, magnificent written reading as well, available in Somewhere in Between, two recent, very good written readings. On that note, I leave you. See you around the bend at another sign. Lots of love, and bye for now.